Blog Talk Radio.
Good midweek Wednesday. Jeff Wirtz back in the Blog Talk Radio studios. Plenty to talk about this week. Bringing in a special guest every week. We are going to feature throughout the summer, and who knows how long. You know, when this guy comes in, things get just a little bit out of control. Last week we hit Batman, so who knows where we're going. Jonathan Deutsch from WIW joining me here today. Jonathan, thanks for coming on. Welcome in to the BTR studios.
That was quite the introduction. Who knows where we're going to go, though? I do like the mystery of it all.
Hey, once we hit Batman and Holly Berry, I'm just done guessing. I'm just out of it. All right.
Yeah.
We have plenty to talk about this week, though. Just all over the board. Chiefs, Royals, everything. NBA we have going on just in the last 24 hours, but we have to jump in to this NFL news, the John Dorsey news. If you haven't heard yet, fans, you're living under a rock, first of all. John Dorsey headed out of Kansas City. Jonathan, what's your take on this whole John Dorsey situation?
Well, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I certainly don't love the timing of it all. It doesn't make a lot of sense that if they knew this was going to happen, then they then let the guy kind of oversee the draft. So that was a little strange. But more so, it's just kind of out of left field. Like, I get that he had 1 year left and they didn't want to extend him and whatever. But my personal opinion, and I don't have anything really to back this up, is I think – somebody somewhere was not happy with the move of Jeremy Maclin, and that sparked something in the front office, and they made a change. And sometimes change is good. You know, sometimes it's what it's needed. But in this case, I'm kind of in wait and see mode because I really don't know.
And as we said over the last couple of days, still a lot of candidates for this GM spot. Who knows where they're going to go. One situation I did hear over the last couple of days, and I did want to bring it up to you, involving Andy Reid. Andy Reid, let's face it, as much as the Hunts are the tops of this organization, Andy Reid controls it. Why do you think he didn't jump in and say, no, I need Dorse. I need the sweatshirt. I need him in Kansas City. You would figure ultimately Andy Reid would be the decision maker on a staff like that. Don't you believe? Or am I just way out of left field here?
Well, I would think he certainly has a lot of power, but I don't know. And it's an interesting move because, you know, when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, he had control of both on the field and off the field, the personnel moves and all that. He was essentially a coach and GM. But the Chiefs keep saying he's not going to be in control of, you know, personnel moves in terms of signing guys or trading guys and whatnot. And how much of that do you believe? You know, is he actually going to be the de facto general manager? I don't know. But that's part of the reason I lean toward this Jeremy Maclin move as being kind of the spark, is because Andy Reid and Jeremy Maclin had a really, really good relationship dating back to their time in Philadelphia together. So I wonder if that played a part. That's really the only thing that I can guess. That's just me making connections, and it's not based on anything. I haven't talked to anybody. I have no facts, but I'm just taking a guess here that if I had to wager some money on what caused it, it would be that was the initial spark that kind of irritated some people.
And you talked about the relationship with players, the, you know, getting along with players. one player in particular in Kansas City was not very, and taking his own words here, wasn't too pleased with the move. And it was a high-level player in the organization, one Tamba Ali. That has to speak volumes with this team. If Tamba is speaking out, you have to wonder if that isn't going down through all of the organization, all of the players, I should say.
Yeah, certainly a guy that has a big role in the locker room and you know, is probably one of the major leaders of this team, if you want to call him a captain, you know, sure. So him speaking out like that and saying that he's not, you know, too thrilled about it. I don't know what that means. Saying you're not too pleased from a guy on your team who plays a huge role, maybe that sends a message. But then again, you know, when are the players ever 100% happy about anything, you know, on the flip side of that? So at the end of the day, he's going to show up to camp and he's going to play and he's going to, you know, practice hard and do all that and do his job. So I don't know, but a franchise losing some confidence from their players is certainly interesting. But it's not the first time it's happened. You know, it happens at all the teams at some point.
And this is a franchise, the front office right now, things are happening in this front office. So we never know what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just, there's a lot of disarray right now. And again, as you said, we are headed directly toward training camp. And I was speaking with Jay Binkley the other day. He, from 610 Sports Radio, didn't have a whole lot of worry going toward training camp, but still a strange situation in Kansas City. All right, Jonathan, let's switch to the NBA. Yesterday, some big news came down, and speaking of coaches and head office leaving a little bit, the New York Knicks and Phil Jackson, this coming down in the last couple of hours, have allegedly, it looks like they are going to part ways. This is again, you want to talk about an organization in disarray. It is the New York Knicks. We went through, you know, the last 15 to 20 years, the Knicks were the strongest franchise, one of the strongest franchises in the NBA. They have fallen apart. What do you think about the whole Phil Jackson, New York Knicks catastrophe?
I think the whole experiment has been a massive failure, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying that. You know, there's issues with Carmelo. Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? And now you get rid of the Zen master and Phil Jackson. What the heck is going on up there, man? Like, I can't figure it out why it didn't work. I mean, obviously, you know, whatever your opinion is of Carmelo Anthony or of Phil Jackson, I mean, Phil got two of the most dynamic superstars ever to, you know, play his brand of basketball and to win. And sure, there were some better support pieces around him than Melo, but, you know, he wasn't able to make the magic happen in New York, and it's been a weird couple of years for the Knicks.
And, you know, I think that, as you said, there's still a stigma following Carmelo around. The only guy in that top, what, four or five that wasn't able to get a ring so far. Still a lot of things kind of circling around Carmelo. But, again, you don't get rid of the high-paid player. You get rid of the high-paid executive. And, again, Phil Jackson out. According to sources, and I love sources, where are these sources coming from? I just love them. Jonathan, do you have a bunch of sources as well? You just have an entourage of sources, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little different in New York. You know, I imagine a source in New York could be the dude at the hot dog stand down the road from Madison Square Garden.
Go.
You know, everybody's got an opinion in New York.
Without a doubt.
That's why we love it.
Oh, no doubt. All right, let's switch to the Kansas City Royals. They took on the Detroit Tigers last night. Not exactly the outcome that they were hoping for. Detroit did get the 5-3 win, but let's be honest, Detroit is a hell of a slugging team. We kind of knew going into this thing that there was going to be it was going to be a needed to be high scoring for the Royals. They got to them early. They got to Justin Verlander big time early in this game. He leaves with 7 hits, gave up 3, I believe, in the first first inning, gave up 3. So he got rocked really hard. Split a little bit. Ended up going 7, but did allow 9 hits and only those 3 runs throughout the game. Once Verlander settled in, this Royals team kind of calmed down a little bit, but a good overall effort last night. And I still think, and I said yesterday on this show, this is an important 7-game stretch for this Kansas City Royals team. 3 against the Tigers, 4 against the Twins, a very, very important 7-game stretch for this Kansas City team.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, I would even go past that and just say the 2 series after that, they'll have 3 with Seattle and 3 with the Dodgers. I think the 4 series right here before the All-Star break are huge. And, I mean, granted, they've won 5 series in a row, right? You got to win 2 now in a row in Detroit to take it to 6 series in a row. You got to win 2 games in a row here, 1 tonight, 1 tomorrow afternoon. But if you can, even if you win, what would it be, 7 out of 8, let's say they lose the Detroit series and then they come back and win the next 3, you'd feel pretty good about that riding into the All-Star break. But these next, 8 to 10 games, as you said, right before the break, are huge. And, one thing I'm looking forward to, by the way, Saturday, we get a little double dip, a nice little double header with the Twinkies. So that should be fun to watch as well.
And for those checking your schedule, your pre-released schedule, that says only 1 game, but it is a double header due to the rainout back in, April, somewhere in there. They had a rain out, and that was just a complete catastrophe of a day. Again, your schedule says 1 game, but there is actually a doubleheader there for the Royals and Twins coming up over the weekend. The Royals right now just hanging in there. They are not not too far back in this division, and we have to credit this division for being absolutely terrible. The rest of these, 1 game back, a half game back for the Twins, only 2.5 back. When you consider that, how close that top of the division is, when you go to the AL West and the second team is only 12.5 back. Now, granted, the Houston Astros have been just knocking the cover off the ball. But the second team in that division, I don't know exactly. Do you know who that is? The second team in the West right now?
I do know who it is, and it's painful. Yeah, my Texas Rangers. And I don't know if you saw the impressive pitching display they put on the other night where they jumped out to a 9-1 lead against the Indians and then lost 15-9.
The Tribe was good that night. You have to tip your cap, though. The Tribe was pretty good that night. But,
they were, but I will say, last night, Adrian Beltre hit home run number 450, and we're just like 30 hits or so away from him reaching 3,000, which is incredible, that guy.
That's impressive.
Hitting doubles and home runs from one knee. Like, the guy's incredible.
Very, very good. Adrian Beltre, a surefire Hall of Famer. I'm sorry, Jonathan. I had to stick that in there. I didn't even notice until I was looking directly at the standings right now that the Rangers are that far back. So I just had to poke that in there real quick. But, again, the Royals, 2.5 back. They tonight will go against the Tigers. I love these 6-10 games, but I know we're going to pay for it with those 9 o'clock games. And I was talking to your coworker, Chris Lilly, about this the other day. And these 9 o'clock games suck. They just suck.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're working, they're not fun. I used to love them as a kid, though. Like, you could stay up late. I mean, it's summer now, but even during the school months, you stay up late and be like, nah, Mom, the Rangers are still on. Let me keep watching. You stay up till like 12:30 or 1 on a school night watching some game in Seattle. But, yeah, if you're trying to get highlights turned around for the 10 o'clock show, it's brutal. Or if, you know, if you got to talk about it at 8 in the morning like you do, it's terrible because that's a quick turnaround, you know, and you're half asleep by the time the game ends.
Without a doubt. And, again, tonight, your matchup, Ian Kennedy taking on Daniel Norris for the Tigers, the second of the three-game set with the Tigers. This one is going to be big. They need to get back to get the second game of this three-game set and try to get the rubber match on Friday. They need to take that and just, excuse me, Thursday. Know your days of the week, Jeff. Know your calendar. When did we remember the calendar?
Yeah, we need a song for that. And here's the other thing, too. We can, you know, if the Royals get the win tonight, we can watch them just keep floating right at that 500 line and just keep floating right around there. And as long as they're staying in the hunt, I mean, you'd be happy with that. But it would be nice to see them get over 500 and stay over 500.
And my only worry with that, and I was kind of bouncing this off a friend of mine the other night. We were at the local watering hole. My only worry is if they need to make a move and they choose not to because they are right there and they just choose not to. And then after that, they just – and this is just me being – you need to understand, and I know, you know, you were a Rangers fan for a long time. Just a dose of Royals fandom. If, you know, I don't want the 90s to come back. I don't want those 62 and 100s to come back. And that's just me being a pessimist. But one way or the other would be very, very nice. But, again, Kennedy against Daniel Norris tonight at the K. Back here tomorrow morning. By the way, thank you very much to Jonathan Deutsch, excuse me, WIBW's sports anchor extraordinaire. I know you have plenty of things to do today. We were speaking off air about many things you have to do, so I will let you go. He will be back next Wednesday here on 15 Minutes. Well, unless something he gets mad at me for something I said here. So,
talking about my Rangers. Be careful.
Unless I took a low blow with that Rangers punch. We'll see.
Nah, you're good. If they were a good team, it wouldn't have been a low blow. But they're struggling, so it's okay.
All right, Jonathan. You have a great week. We will be back on. We will be back next Wednesday. You will be. I will be here tomorrow because they pay me to be. So I show up.
Sounds good.
You will be here Wednesday. Can't wait. Should be a lot of things going on in the next few days. And we will see you next Wednesday. Jonathan Deutsch, the guest today here on 15 Minutes of Fan. Have a great week, Jonathan. Jonathan Deutsch, once again, sorry, had a little trouble there with the phone call at the end of the show. But again, thank you so much to Jonathan Deutsch for joining me here on 15 Minutes of Fan. That's all I have for you today. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for a brand new edition of 15 Minutes of Fan.